Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
For joining you. This is Oilers Now. Yes, that's America. It is Dewey Bunnell's 69th birthday. That hit, The Horse with No Name, from the early 1970s, in around 71, 72, from back in the day. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store. Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. Full practice day today for the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers Now team down a key member is Brendan Escott's going to be out a couple days, but special thanks to Sarah Fox and Kellen Kennedy for pinch hitting over the course of the next couple hours. Here's what we got for you. Cam Moon, Oilers, one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices, will join us in about 3 minutes' time here live at Rogers Place. And then our regular Wednesday contributors to the show, Brian Lawton from the NHL Network, David Staples, Cult of Hockey, and John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Of course, you can reach us at any time on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063. Slot machines at the River Cree now open 24-7. More chances to play, more chances of winning nonstop excitement. Biggest gaming floor in Western Canada. Plus, daily dining specials at more than their 10 great restaurants and bars. For more information, head to therivercreeresort.com. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted at 143rd Street and 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com. We're going to go quickly into our top story today for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling, you need to get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. The Edmonton Oilers are getting healthier. Chris Russell will be available for tomorrow. Edmonton put William Lagesson on waivers yesterday. He has cleared, and he will be assigned to the taxi squad. So just an extra depth defenseman around for the Oilers. Not immediately going to potentially go to Bakersfield, where they've got lots of guys currently down there, especially on the left side of defense. And at this time, we're also going to take care of our Oilers Now lineup report, because it will merge into our conversation with Cam Moon. The Oilers Now lineup report is brought to you three times a week on the show by Craig Hummel at REMAX Excellence. Find your dream home, sell your old home, sold today, Edmonton.ca. Well, here is what happened late in the practice yesterday. The Edmonton Oilers, Brendan Perlini, got engaged a little bit with, I believe, Zach Cassian, was a little bit tweaked, was not on the ice for today's practice. This is what the, and we mentioned this because Perlini was going to potentially end up with a spot on a line with Connor McDavid and Kadri Yamamoto. But as a result, Perlini not available today, so we saw Warren Fogle with Connor McDavid and Kadri Yamamoto, Leon Draisaitl with Zach Hyman and Jesse Puljujärvi, Ryan McLeod with Tyler Benson and Zach Cassian, Derek Ryan with Devin Shore and Colton Sevier. Kyle Turris, who was in COVID protocol, is out. We mentioned that Perlini did not finish the practice yesterday. We believe the defense pairings are going to be Nurse with CeCe, Russell and Bouchard, and Keith and Barry. And right now with Stuart Skinner in COVID protocol and Mike Smith out with a ligament challenge with his thumb, Mikko Koskinen will undoubtedly be starting against the Florida Panthers squad that last night was defeated 5-1 by the Calgary Flames. So they're not going to be too happy after going on an 8-0 run. And for Edmonton, they're just looking to get it turned around after going 2-10-2. And lots of frustration in oil country as we look down on the ice. And Duncan Keith has his son out on the ice as we speak. It's a nice touch, getting a chance to see him skate and that sort of thing at Rogers Place. And we bring Cam Moon aboard for our friends at Brent Ridge Ford. Hello, Cam Moon. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And a hello out to everybody at Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin.
And there you go. So, hey, look, we were here last night watching the Edmonton Oil Kings in action. We will mention that the Oil Kings made a significant trade and picked up Justin Sorda from the Vancouver Giants. We had Kurt Hill on yesterday's show. You worked in that league for 22 years. When is the last time you can recall a Western Hockey League team having five players from Team Canada's World Junior team loaded up on one squad?
I can't. I can't remember that.
Right.
I don't. If it's happened, and it probably has, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. It'd be a while.
I can't remember.
Well, that's quite a few. But yeah, adding a guy like Justin Sorduff to the Oil Kings, so it strengthens an already incredibly strong team. Gives him more depth up front. He has such a tremendous work ethic. The way he plays the game, just like he battles. And I thought last night, it's your first game with your new team. Clearly you want to make an impression.
Right.
You already know some of the guys, certainly the guys you played World Juniors with, but you want to make an impression. And I thought he made a pretty good impression just with that work ethic. So he was battling hard. I'll give Prince Albert credit. Their goaltender hung him in because, you know, Edmonton was the better of the two clubs.
It was four games in 5 days for Prince Albert.
Yeah. It was the back end of a long swing, and they had a win the night before in Red Deer, and their goaltender hung him in, and it was 1-0 Prince Albert after two, but he couldn't score any goals, the goaltender, and B, he couldn't hold off the Oil Kings.
Who had 52 final shots on goal.
Yeah.
So the Oil Kings with goaltender Sebastian Kosa, you know, one of the two Western Hockey League World Junior goaltenders, Caden Gooley, who they picked up from the Prince Albert Raiders, Montreal Canadiens first-round pick, Dylan Gunther, Arizona Coyotes first-round pick, Jake Neighbors, team captain, St. Louis pick, and now Justin Sorduff, who's the third-round pick for the Florida Panthers. So you and me stayed through the first two periods, and we went over and saw our buddy Bakes over at Pub 1905. It was good seeing him having an animated conversation. Boy, people had a lot to say yesterday, but it is interesting. Cam, you played the position of goal.
Yeah.
Okay. And when the Edmonton Oilers were 16-5 this year, all three goaltenders, and Mike Smith unfortunately only had three starts in those first 21 games, but all three goaltenders had a .914 save percentage. And lo and behold, in the last 14 games, none of the goaltenders are above .882. Now, Darnell Nurse spoke yesterday after practice and talked about the fact that, you know, collectively, we have to bring the goals against down. You're a goaltender. You played that position in the Western Hockey League, and I don't want to necessarily put you in a position to comment on an NHL goaltender, but it's got a weigh on a goalie's mind when the teams are struggling to keep the puck out of the net.
Yeah, and Darnell was right. It's everybody. Everybody the whole team has to be better. Not giving up as good of opportunities to play with the puck in the other team's end, which for the most part, the Oilers have done a pretty good job of. But the goaltenders will want to be better. And as a goaltender, you want to change the whole thing yourself. You know, you want to be the difference between the win and the loss. And you're going to put that on your own shoulders. But it's not fair. It's not fair, obviously, that it's not all on them. Yeah, would they like to be better? For sure. But there's a lot of things that would like to be better. You'd like to see and I'm talking about in the most recent stretch of 14 games. You'd like to see the power play connecting at a higher rate. You'd like to see the PK killing off penalties at a higher rate. All those things. You'd like to see the team get the lead early. These are all, in this last little while, things that have struggled. Not just the save percentage of the netminders, which, you know, part of it is on the netminders, but part of it is on the way the team has played and giving up opportunities. If you improve all those aspects of your game, you're going to do better. That's the way it was when they were 16-5. PK was unbelievable. Power play was lights out. Weren't giving up as many great opportunities. Goaltending was a little bit better. It's all of those things. And Darnell talked about it yesterday. The coaching staff has talked about it, quite honestly, right from the get-go. So, right. Yeah, I think it's a little bit everything. You but, know, yeah, the goalies would, sure, they would like to be the ones that just lead the team to victories, but it is everybody.
The irony of the situation, and maybe it speaks, we have a really dedicated fan base here in Edmonton that knows the game.
And we got
a lot of people out there that can run numbers, and they know that the 5v5 numbers have actually, in terms of the expected goals for and against, have probably been better during this 14-game stretch when the team went 2-10-2 than maybe the previous 10-game stretch. I mean, the Oilers started 9-1, then ended up 16-5, so they went 7-4 in their next 11 games after starting 9-1. And there were some decent things done at times, 5v5, and they actually got some scoring from some support players further down the lineup in the last three or four games before they got their second sort of shutdown here. And I get the sense like there's a tremendous amount of passion out there from the fans, and they have expectations, and their expectations are on everyone in the organization. Like, you know what? The manager, you got to continue to work to find good players. The coach has got to come up with solutions. The players got to dig in it as well. And it's, but it is interesting, and it makes me wonder sometimes a little about analytics. Like, how much of that was score effects in terms of the 5v5 play when the Oilers were constantly down 1-0 or 2-0 early in games? And that's where I want to go next. Always, and they're getting Florida, and Florida's coming off. They laid a stink bomb, and they're a good team. They're a real good team. They dressed their backup goalie last night in Calgary. They got pumped 5-1. And Calgary's not a bad team either. Calgary had gone through a 2-7-1 stretch. You know Florida's going to be ready to play tomorrow night, Cam. And you got to have a better start. Can't beat yourself early against Florida, can you?
No, you absolutely can't. I would expect Florida to really come out flying. I understand Jacob Markstrom played really well for the Flames last night. So definitely that had impact on the game. Yeah, you need to be ready for this. This is one of the best teams in the league. They've been scoring at an astronomical rate going into that game against the Flames. So you know that, and this is the second game of a swing where they also go into Vancouver and Seattle, that they're going to want to turn it around real quick. So I would think that Florida will be like they're, you know, shot out of a cannon to start the game tomorrow night. And Edmonton has to be completely ready for that and completely dialed in. And, I mean, complete attention to detail within your own zone. That's going to be huge. I can't just put it like, yes, the goaltending has to be sharp, but it can't be just them. If you're giving up grade-A scoring opportunities from between the hash marks in the first period, you can only expect the netminder to do so much. So that part's going to be a huge aspect of the game going into it tomorrow. And if you get an opportunity with a man advantage relatively early, it'd be great if you could take advantage of that. Yeah, I think that's part of it too. Special teams, that needs to be really good.
So the team still is not going to have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. It's a big loss. You know him all the way back from when he played as a member of the Red Deer Rebels. Cam Moon joining me live at Rogers Place, the Oilers and the Panthers tomorrow. By the way, the NHL will announce the new schedule later this afternoon, sometime around 3:30 today. And obviously there's several, I think 9 Oiler game postponements so far. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jesse Puljujärvi are two, they're almost sacred cows for the fans. Like, they love those guys.
One's the Bison King.
One is the Bison.
That's a big deal.
And the other one's the Nuge.
He is the Nuge.
Right? Like, but I think we've seen Ryan touches several aspects of the team's game. And I think we've seen that a bit here over the last three or four games that he's been out for.
I agree. Sometimes it's an underrated thing. On the power play, we talk about what he does, distributing the puck with a man advantage. And when you don't realize it till you don't have him. And then you're like, wow, you know what? Maybe Ryan has a little bit something to do with the success that they had early on the power play. He's defensively responsible. That, I think, you know, is obvious. And has been, a huge part of the club. So it's unfortunate he's been out. Yes, Puljujärvi, I love how Oiler fans have embraced.
Oh, they love the guy.
He's a very happy young man, which I think is part of it, is that smile on his face. And when he has success on the ice, what tells a lot to me is how fired up his teammates are for him genuinely when he has success, which tells you that he's popular within the room. And I think there's that that positivity to the game that he brings that becomes infectious. And I think that's the type of attitude that can pull a team in a good direction. So I want to see him score just as much as everybody else.
Reed Wilkins has passed along. He's downstairs. They're just doing the coach's availability. Brendan Perlini has not been ruled out. In theory, there was a chance that he may end up playing with Connor McDavid and Connor Yamamoto, and Hyman and Puljujärvi were going to play with Draisaitl. Just a quick thought on the Oilers, maybe flipping around those lines a bit, because Hyman and Puljujärvi have played a fair amount this year with Connor.
Yeah, I like it. I was a little disappointed to not see Brendan Perlini on the ice today.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of days practicing with Connor McDavid and Kyler Yamamoto looked like an interesting fit. He's a guy that can shoot the puck, and he has a shoot first mentality. And we saw it in the preseason, and we're starting to see it a little bit now, that his shot is a handful for goaltenders. So I would love to see a game or two with him in that position, just to see, you know, how does he fit in? Does this work? Maybe we got something here. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, if you're the coaches, that's the way you're thinking. Let's give this a shot. You know, it's been a tough time here lately. So let's give this an opportunity. As a guy that can let it rip. So, you know, let's get in there and give him an opportunity to see what he can do.
Cam, thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
Again, Brent Ridge Ford, they take care of you, don't they?
They do. They do a great job. Cars cost less in Wetaskiwin.
Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford. It is 12:23 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with NHL Today. Maybe squeeze in a text or two. You're listening to Oilers Now. It's 12:26 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you. Cam Moon hanging out for another couple minutes. We'll get to a text because we got a text here that's going to educate us on one of the greatest junior teams of all time that had multiple players in the World Junior Squad. Into NHL Today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing Company, branded apparel, products, and awards. Drew Shamahorn and his staff at Elite, they'll take care of you. Everything's created in-house. Shop local at ElitePromoMarketing.com. In the NHL tonight, three games to take place. Arizona at New Jersey against the Devils. The Maple Leafs are in New York at MSG to take on the Rangers, and the Colorado Avalanche visit the Anaheim Ducks. I might be watching that late one tonight. John Gibson, the expected starter against Pavel Francouz, as Darcy Kemper, the former Red Deer Rebel, is out of the lineup after he got run over by Jordan Greenway. That's you saw Kemper playing Red Deer. Late round draft choice of Minnesota. Actually, a pick that was acquired in a trade that also saw Kyle Brodziak traded to the Minnesota Wild. The Oilers got back two picks, neither of whom ultimately panned out. Are you surprised Kemper's had the NHL career he has?
Yeah, and only because here was a guy that was playing AAA U18 at 17 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was a bit of a late bloomer, but by his 20-year-old year in the Western League, he was lights out.
There you go. Well, we'll see what happens with Darcy Kemper. There's some people that believe the Colorado Avalanche may be in on Marc-Andre Fleury, that Fleury's going to specifically target and lift his no-movement clause to a top-five overall team in the league. So keep an eye on that. 1996, this texter says, what about, speaking of world junior players, Kamloops had Jerome Iginla, Matt Domenichelli, Nolan Baumgartner, and local current real estate agent Jason Holland on that squad, a.k.a. Holly. You recall those guys here?
Yeah, that was the first year of the World Juniors where they had quarterfinal, semifinal, final. That was the one in Boston. Nat Domenichelli is Maple Leaf Athletic Club alum.
Worked in Switzerland and also did some work with Jerry Johansson and the Sports Corporation as well.
Yeah, he was an outstanding part of that Blazers club. That was pretty loaded up Blazers team. I mean, 3 Memorial Cups in 4 years. You're going to be pretty good.
You're going to be pretty good. Yep. They were good. All right. And, Cam, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break here because it's 12:28. Thanks for sliding by.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, we'll head it off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Come back at 12:35 with Brian Lawton from the NHL Network.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.